Jessica, what chapter are we on? Like, but 41. Actually, Daniel, I'm going blind here. Could you turn on the Walmarts, please? Sure. Thanks. All right. Encore, read for us. Page 88. Thank you. Yep. All right, we have a concept here called a webbing. A web is someone who's constantly yearning. He is a constant lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you're a human being and you believe in Allah, you really have to have a loving relationship with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a relationship like a boss, a prison guard, anything like this. You have to have a loving relationship with your Lord, or else just, what's the point? Okay, so people who truly love Allah, okay, the sign of it is that they actually do what He wants them to do. That's the first sign, and they view it as a good thing. They don't view it as a bad thing, okay. And if they're unable to do it, they view it as their weakness, right? Their weakness. If you want to see if someone loves Allah or not, look at how they perceive religious duties. If they perceive it with slothfulness, laziness, and they hate it, okay, how could they love Allah if they hate something that He wants them to do, right? Also look at their own self, okay, what God has willed for you. Because Allah has His will, remember, His will is two things, and you should jot this down. God's will is two things. The religious orders and prohibitions, that's number one. And number two, your life destiny, right? I am who I am, right? This is who I am, this is where I was born, all these things. My life destiny is also God's will for me. If someone comes and hits my car from the back, you got to have a smart perception of that, right? Your perspective. You got to realize this is Allah's will. Allah has willed that this happen for some reason. Now, His religious orders may dictate to you that you have to do something about it. So it's not being completely passive, but mentally you know this is Allah's decree. So whoever loves Allah always has a positive outlook at A, religious orders, and B, destiny, your past. Someone who loves Allah can never be someone who envies other people. Why? That's Allah's will for you, and this is Allah's will for me. Allah chose to give some people a lot and some people less. That's not my business. That's Allah's business. And if Allah thinks that's good, I think that's good too. Right? That's our perspective. All right? Envy. You'll never say resentment. You'll never find a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who truly understands. He'll never have resentment and carry things from the past. You know that there are some people out there, you do one thing to them, they'll carry it for 20 years, right? They'll have a nasty mom or dad, they'll carry that, and that will be what forms their future. They'll do everything to spite something that happened to them in the past. To give you an example, do people know about Madonna? Are you all too young to know about Madonna? Like her real stuff, the real stuff that she did in the past? You don't know about that stuff?
No.
Yeah. Not that, like, you should. Yeah. Yeah, her career, like her major music videos, major songs. If you notice what she does very early on, she moved away from it now, very early on, it was almost every music video had an anti-Catholic message. Like she would wear a cross, but with a bikini, right? Or she would have lyrics that were based on Catholicism, but were blasphemous at the same time. She named herself Madonna, but then called herself the Material. Madonna is one of the attributes of Mary, right? But then she went on doing all these things that would be blasphemy in the sight of the Catholic Church. So when she was asked about this, she said, all this is to get back at my dad, who was such a rough guy, you know, Italian Catholic from Long Island, right? Rough guy and a Catholic, staunch Catholic. He was against everything I did. So she spends the bulk of her life getting back at someone. This is called resentment, right? You don't let go. And the only way you can let go is to know that everything that happens is Allah's will. There's a wisdom, but you gotta find it. Salam rahmat. Then they say, and wisdom is like a pearl. It doesn't float up to the top. Pearls, in order to get a pearl from the sea, you have to dive. And you gotta get through a lot of junk in the sea to get clams. Once you get clams, you gotta chuck it open, and maybe not, you'll find a pearl. But it's worthwhile. In the past, pearls were so expensive before man-made pearls, because human beings can make pearls today, right? If you see a pearl that's a perfect circle, it's a real pearl, but it's man-made. It's the same material. But a real natural pearl, okay, used five or six pearls used to allow a guy to make a living for the rest of his year. That used to be enough to make a livelihood for a year. Not a great livelihood, but enough. That's how valuable pearls are. Wisdom doesn't float to the top. You gotta think, you have to search. So when you ask yourself, why is this happening to me? Right? Something bad is happening. You gotta think, why is this happening? Okay? Answer's not just gonna pop out of nowhere. You have to think deeply, what is the possible wisdom behind this happening? So lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they never hold on to things, they never have resentment, they never carry too much anger, they never have envy, all these things. Awwab is the word that we use for a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the word awwab. And to show that he loves Allah that much, okay, one of the things that the awwabin do is pray at two times in which all of humanity is very busy. And that is the early time before work and right after Maghrib. Okay? Before work, when does everyone leave work? Definitely after Fajr and before Dhuhr. That expanse of time you're leaving for work. If you were to wake up and pray 2, 4, 6, 8, 12 rak'ahs, that is a sign and a testament of your love for Allah. Why? At that time, what is everyone doing? Putting a bagel in the toaster, putting on my tie, finding my other black sock, okay? Everyone's busy, hustling and bustling, catching some emails before I get to work, okay? Heating up my coffee, looking for my keys. Every day at 9 a.m., it's craziness in every household. If you can manage to pull out 25 seconds to make 2 rak'ahs of salah, you have proven something big to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, after Maghrib. Maghrib time usually comes at a time where people are going for dinner, wrapping up their work day, let's say in the winter, heading home, all right, just winding down, and the last thing you want to do is anything serious. You just want to get a meal, a hot meal, a tea, quiet, and then, you know, just unwind yourself. Whoever extends their sunnahs after Maghrib also makes a testimony to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can make it 4 or 6, it's a testament to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are true in your love for Him. Okay? So this is what Salat al-Awwabin are. This is what it is. Any questions on this before we move on? Alright, let's do Salat al-Istikhara. Ridwan to read for us. It's Tishara. Uh-huh. Istikhara. So here goes. A lot of people do stuff in life and it always turns out to be a failure. Right? People make decisions and these decisions turn out to be failed. Other people in life, they make decisions, all their decisions are good. Have you ever met someone, just every decision they make is a disaster. Right? I know someone, every major decision that they've made in their life is a disaster. And I know other people, every decision they make turns out good, right? Now, there's divine wisdom. If you're someone who has trouble making decisions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have guidance on how to make decisions. Our faith and our deen is so complete, we even have guidance on how to make a good decision. Allah says, I'm Salaam Rahman, you need to do two things. The first one's called istishara. Istishara. Istishara means asking three people who would know. Okay? Asking three people who would know. Okay? So, if I want to get a plumber, I have a major issue in my house. If I'm going to get a plumber, I'm not going to ask my mom. All right? She's not going to know. What am I going to do? I'm going to get a quote from a couple people. And you're going to ask some people who know about plumbing, okay? You ask someone who recently did plumbing in his house, okay, what do you know about this? A contractor friend of yours, you ask before spending $7,000 or $10,000. You ask. Then you pray istikhara, two rak'ahs with the dua that is, we'll recite for you here, okay? So this is what you do. You want to enter into a business venture with someone? You need to take istishara and istikhara. If you want to go into a business venture with someone, who do you ask? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, ask the people who know that person. Don't just go ask a stranger. Someone who, if I want to go into business with, okay, Encore, who am I going to ask? I'm not going to ask Ridwana. What does she know about Encore? I'm going to go and ask Encore's boss. What is this type of person like? I'm going to go ask his friends that I see him hanging out with. I'm going to go ask his previous business partner. You ask people that are related to that person, okay? And only in certain situations, there are three situations in which you're actually allowed to say negative things if they are true. Marriage, business, and rooming. You want to be roommates with someone. I want to be a roommate with someone. Well, let me ask his former roommate. In this case, the former roommate is allowed to tell me the truth, okay? Even if it's bad, it doesn't count as backbiting, okay? So there are three cases that don't count as backbiting, and these are when someone takes your istishara for marriage, business, and a roommate, okay? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said the best people to ask about the character of another person are his former roommate, someone who's lived with him, someone who's dealt with money with him, and someone who's traveled with that person. All right, so if I want to marry someone, let's say a dude proposes to my daughter, what am I going to do? I'm not going to assess him myself. He's going to come with his best face, right? He's going to come and put on a good show, okay? I'm going to go and look up his past roommates, right? His past roommates. What kind of person is this guy in the house? Is he a slob? Does he pitch in, right? What did you see? Did you see him engaging in any bad habits in private? Okay? Or in the privacy of his own home? I'm going to go ask someone who's traveled with him. Okay? When people travel, their true colors show. Why? You're on the bus or on a plane for 18 hours or 19 hours in transit. you lose the decor and the veneer that we all have right now. Like right now, all of us have the veneer of certain manners. There's certain things you're not gonna do. But after, if we're stuck in this room or on a plane together for 18 hours, things are gonna start changing. People will start yelling, flipping out, getting angry, okay? Start talking about things they wouldn't have regularly talked about. Third category, someone who dealt with money with this person. All right, so I'm gonna look this person up. Were you ever part of a business? Did you ever borrow money or do you owe anyone money? So these are the three categories of people that we ask. So this is, all of this is istishara. The divine blessing for a matter will not come, okay, except if you do istishara and istikhara, okay? Because if you're gonna do something noble and good, why should you be ashamed to do istishara? I judge myself, okay, on a matter, if I'm afraid to tell the people close to me about this matter and I wanna keep it to myself, I know probably there's something wrong with it. If I feel bad, awkward about telling my wife or my mom or my dad about something I'm doing, okay, probably it's not noble, right? It's probably there's some other, or it is noble, but I have an egotistical motive, okay? So istishara should break that down. And if you're doing something good, your loved ones, you shouldn't feel embarrassed to tell them or to ask them for their advice. So that's istishara. Then istikhara, you pray it, and the dua is as following. Oh Allah, I seek a decision through your knowledge, and I seek power from your power, and I seek, and I ask you of your great bounty, since you know and I know not. And you have power while I have no power. And you have power over all things. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter, and you name your matter, okay, engaging in business with so-and-so, marrying so-and-so, traveling such and such a place, is good for me in my religion and livelihood and my future, the short term and the long term, then destine it for me and make it easy and blessed. This is the key. Make it easy and blessed. If something is easy and blessed, that's a sign of the divine will. All right, something is easy and blessed. If it's hard and it's requiring you to do sins to get it, then it's a sign that God doesn't want you to do it. And if you know that this matter is bad for me in my religion and livelihood and my future, the short term and the long term, then push away this matter and push me away from it and destine for me the good wherever it is and make me content with it. Anything serious that you're gonna do, pray two rakas and make this dua in Arabic or English, it doesn't matter. This is a dua that you're saying after the prayer, and therefore it's not part of the prayer, therefore you can say it in English, okay? You can say it in English. What is the result of this dua? If the thing that you're doing is blessed by Allah, the more you make this prayer and dua, the easier it will become. And if it is not blessed by Allah, then the more you make this prayer, Allah will make it clear to you and He will make you not want it anymore. Your heart will move away from it, and you will be content with something else, okay? So this dua is so important. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, do not do this all the time for any major decision, any serious decision, even if it's a small one, even if it is about what sandal lace to buy. This is from the Prophet. Even if you're gonna buy a sandal lace, a lace for your sandals, right? Do this prayer. Two rakas, any surahs, and say this dua afterwards, okay? And you can subsume this with your sunnah. So like, let's say we're about to pray Maghrib. You pray Maghrib, you make your two rakas after Maghrib, you intend two sunnahs and istikhara at the same time. So you pray two rakas, and then you pick up your book and recite this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? If your thing is blessed, it will become easy. If it's not blessed, your heart will move away from it and you're gonna notice it's becoming harder, okay? Recently, a friend of mine was applying for a friend of our family. The woman got a job she was applying for a job in North Carolina. They're both living in New Jersey, okay? Then she started to pray istikhara. She started to do this dua. And in one, the next day, the guy who's hooking her up for the job said, look, I want to hook you up, but you're the secondary breadwinner of your family. And there's another guy who is the primary breadwinner of his family who just got fired from his job. He needs this job, right? So I need you to understand that I need to give this job to him, not to you. The next day, her husband in New York, works in New York, got a promotion, got an offer for a promotion. So she put two and two together. I did istikhara. In the next few days, these two events happened. I know this job is not for me. It's getting difficult, right? Once a matter gets difficult, just stay away from it. Keep praying istikhara. If it opens up, then move. This is how we operate with the divine will. You don't fight with the divine will, right? So this is istikhara and the importance of istikhara. Any questions before we move on? Yep. Yeah, you can see a good dream. Now, istikhara, let's say I prayed istikhara, nothing happened. Nothing changed. You keep doing it. Keep doing it. Before or after every prayer, mix the intention of your sunnah with the istikhara. All right? And just pick up the book. Yeah, you unify it. You can unify it. Yeah. Yeah. And then pick up your book and read the dua. Right? And keep doing this until the matter becomes crystal clear and easy. Okay? Someone said to my friend, to our teacher, I keep doing istikhara, but nothing. I'm not getting a clear answer. He said, keep doing it. Right? Keep doing it until you do get a clear answer. Now, you can pray, someone can ask you, or you can do istikhara for someone else. Right? Because istikhara in the end is just a prayer. It's a dua. So you can say, oh Allah, I ask you by such and such, if so-and-so's decision is good. Right? So if there's someone you believe is, their dua is answered, you could say, pray istikhara on my behalf. Right? You can do that. And the matter will become clear. Now, one time, one of our older gentlemen that was a follower of our teacher in England, he came to him and said, I have a massive business venture and I want you to pray istikhara for me. So Sheikh said, fine. So he prayed istikhara. And a couple days later, the man came back and said, so what's the answer? He said, the feeling that I get, you should go into the business venture. A year later, the guy came back and he came back with a bad face on. And he said, what happened? He said, this business venture that you said I should do it, right? I lost 30,000 pounds, British pounds. So what happened to your istikhara? It's no good. He said, did you do istikhara? You know, what was your istikhara? He said, well, I didn't do it. I just relied on yours. Well, he said, that's the point. That's a problem. You got to do the istikhara. You can't just rely upon someone else doing all the work. So you have to do istikhara and istishara as well. You got to do istishara as well. Now, what happens if I'm already knee-deep in a decision? Like, I already accepted to go to a college and I'm already there. And I never did istikhara or istishara. What do I do? Well, you do it now. Right? Do it now. And for your istishara, how do I make istishara and ask advice for a decision I already made? Well, you go to the people that you trust and say, look, this is my situation. I'm here already. What do I do? And they should give you advice, right? No one is going to give you radical advice like pull out and retire or just completely pull out. They'll give you good advice on what to do given your situation. Any other questions on istikhara or istishara? Yep. No, istishara you're going to ask people once. Istikhara you could do it every day, multiple times a day, for any sunnah. Yeah. Okay, the next prayer. Now, you should note that most of the prayers that we're covering now are prayers that will happen rarely. Or istikhara, maybe every day you're going to do istikhara. You really should do istikhara as much as you can. Now, Salat al-Hajjah is a dua of desperation. All right, you're in big trouble. You are in serious hot water. You're in a situation that looks impossible. What is the solution? Page 90, Salatul Haja. Okay? All right, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Ridwana, pick it up. Now, you're in this impossible situation. Now, this man became blind, right? The Prophet said, if you want, I can pray for you and you'll get your sight back. Or, I'll save this prayer and pray for you in the afterlife, you go straight to heaven. Okay? The man said, no, I want to see now. All right. Prophet said, go pray 2 rak'ahs, make a good wudu. By the way, if you want your prayer to be good, your wudu has to be good. It's a direct correlation. Make a slow and focused wudu, your prayer will be good. Make a sloppy, haphazard wudu, wasting water, talking, laughing, being sloppy, it's not going to be a good wudu. Make a good wudu, pray 2 rak'ahs, and supplicate. Oh Allah, I ask you and I turn to you through your Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Mercy. Oh Muhammad, I turn through you to my Lord regarding this matter. And you name your matter, that you ensure it for me, O Allah, accept his intercession for me. That's it. That man got his eyesight back. Okay. Is anyone between a rock and a hard place? This is your dua. Make a good wudu, pray 2 rak'ahs, and recite this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get you out of your situation. And of course, you recite this after you salam out of the prayer. And again, since it's outside the prayer, it can be in the English language. Salat at-Tawbah is easy, okay? Salat at-Tawbah is, you did something really bad. If you want to show to Allah that you are penitent, it's simple. Just make make wudu and pray 2 rak'ahs with the intention of repentance. Okay? Man came to the masjid one time, drunk, or having a hangover from being drunk. Okay? Says, I've lost hope. There's nothing that I could do to make up for my wrongs. We said, Akhi, just go make wudu and make 2 rak'ahs with the intention that you want to start fresh. That's what we do when we make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, right? When you make a mistake, you don't just sit there and wonder what's going to happen. Get yourself up, make wudu, and pray 2 rak'ahs. That's what we do when you make a mistake. No matter how bad it is. If you believe, now this is a mistake that Iblis made. Satan made this mistake. If you believe that your sin is so bad, you can never be cleaned off, that means you think that your sin is heavier than God's mercy and his forgiveness and his power. That's a problem. That's a massive ego problem. You think your sin is that bad that Allah can't forgive it? You think your situation is that bad that Allah can't get you out of it? Nothing is bigger than Allah, okay? Nothing is bigger than Allah. So just do 2 rak'ahs and start fresh. Yep. The Prophet, peace be upon him, in his Sunnah of Fajr, and the Shafi' and Witr used to usually recite Qul Ya Al-Kafirun and Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad in the first rak'ah, and then Qul Kafirun in the second rak'ah. Yeah.
But for the nafls?
No. Only the first nafl and the last nafl he used to recite them.
Any kind of surah?
Any surah, yeah. Or no surah at all. Yeah, that's it. And it's acceptable. Yeah. If you're jammed on time, I got 20 seconds to pray 2 rak'ahs, right? It could happen, right? You just recite Fatiha and that's it. That's acceptable. All right. Sajd al-Shukr and Salat al-Shakirin. Whenever a person is blessed with success, they can make sajda directly out of shukr, except after fajr and after asr. So let's say I just got a message, I got a job, right? I'm unemployed. Someone just called me on the phone and said, come tomorrow at 9 a.m. We got a job for you. What do I do? Immediately make sajda, right? Straight to sajda. That's it, right? That's called sajda of shukr. So it's an expression of a gratitude that is so great that you're not going to do the prayer. You go straight to sujood. Okay? And we Muslims, when we get worldly blessings, we follow it with worship. When we do a lot of good worship, we follow that with celebration. Right? That's how we do things. Now you could celebrate a worldly blessing, but first you got to do some worship as a gratitude to Allah, the least of which, sajda of shukr. All right? Yeah, because after fajr and asr, there's no sajda. Yeah, remember the sunset. Yeah, sunrise, sunset. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do sajda of shukr. Now Bilal, he used to do two rak'ahs out of gratitude for water after every wudu. Since he used to be a slave who was deprived of water from his master, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Bilal, I hear footsteps in paradise. What is this from? He then said, he then told the Prophet, peace be upon him, about his two rak'ahs after every wudu. For us, we should pray them with gratitude. With the intention of gratitude and the ability to purify our sins with wudu. So the point is here, something really good happens. You might make the sajda, also give two rak'ahs of shukr, right? You propose to a woman, that woman accepts your proposal. Go pray two rak'ahs of shukr, right? Pray two rak'ahs of shukr. So again, sajda shukr and salat al-shakirin. All right, let's stop here for Maghrib. We'll come back, we'll take our little quiz, which is going to be about 4 preconditions, 5 prayer times, prohibited times of prayer, lesser ritual impurity, the causes, 3 kinds of water, 7 obligations, etc. All right, subhanakallahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.